Welcome to the Carve a Monster Hunter podcast, where you can bone up on hunting monsters, episode 114. I'm your host, SBJ.
And I am Micah? Question mark?
No, you're back.
I'm back. I'm not Will.
You're not dead. Well, we know that's for sure. Hello. This might be your first episode of the Carve, since this will be the last episode pre-Iceborne.
This is it. This is what it's all leading up to.
And we usually record on Thursdays, but we're recording this early because both you and I are out of town this weekend.
We are.
Which I was out of town 2 weeks ago, and then you were out of town last week, and now we're both out of town this week. This is very bad timing for Iceborne. Not really great that we both happen to be out of town the same weekend Iceborne is coming out.
Well, for clarity's sake, we should, is that the right phrase, for clarity's sake? I don't think that's right.
I like clarity.
For the sake of clarity, we are going out of town for a bachelor party for a friend of ours who's getting married.
Who doesn't like Monster Hunter.
Who doesn't like Monster Hunter. I don't know. Is it that he doesn't like it, or just that he's never tried it, really?
Oh, I convinced him to get 3U and Generations, and he hated both.
Yeah, but not World. And World changed a lot of minds, so you never know. There's still hope.
I don't know. We haven't talked about the sales numbers enough.
That's true. Good point. Either way, it was a decision that we made that we were like, oh, let's go out of town on this weekend that Iceborne is launching.
We didn't really have much of a say. If you're new here, we do a weekly Monster Hunter podcast. I'll just get this out of the way just in case, because I know we're probably going to get an influx of listeners. Just because of the game launching this weekend. We're a weekly Monster Hunter podcast. We come out every Thursday. We're pretty casual. We've been doing the show for, almost 2 years now.
Almost.
Feels like it. And
wow, thank you.
We cover Monster Hunter news mostly, but we'll just talk about experiences and stuff. Again, if you're super casual, if you're looking for like six strats or the best loadout for your long blade getup, not the right podcast. I don't know if that podcast exists, but I do know there's a lot of pretty awesome Monster Hunter content creators that you could probably go find with sweet loadout builds on YouTube or Twitch or Facebook Gaming is, I think, a Mixer. That's hot and upcoming.
Yeah. I've seen some people stream some Monster Hunter on Mixer.
I'm sure they are. Not Ninja, but I'm sure somebody is.
Maybe Ninja is secretly a huge Monster Hunter fan, but he doesn't stream it.
Maybe.
He doesn't want anybody to know. He wants it to be like his
go-to off-stream
private
game.
Yeah.
So we try to keep these episodes a half hour. We're going to try really hard to do it this time. I did a bunch of Monster Hunter things, which is usually usually Mike is the Monster Hunter person. I just set sail of some direction of this podcast. But I don't think you did anything Monster Hunter related when you were gone for 10 days.
I didn't, but I saw some things.
What does that even mean?
Well, I'll get there.
Okay. All right.
No spoilers. Gotta build the suspense.
So we have two news articles. One you probably know because of the title of the episode. There's a monster coming. We'll get to that. We'll probably save that for last. I went to PAX. I played Monster Hunter there. I did some hunts. I went to a Monster Hunter party. That's the exciting stuff. I'll talk about the non-exciting stuff here real quick, though. Well, no, this is exciting. But we'll get this news out of the way. This is off PC Gamer. Monster Hunter World Iceborne will reward players who help others catch up, which is actually a pretty vital piece of information, since you might have some friends who are not done with World.
One of them we just were before the start of this podcast, we're talking about. who's not caught up.
Good news, according to the Iceborne developers, is that there's something for everyone in the upcoming expansion. Hardcore players, the ones who have made it to G rank, or as in this game will be called Master rank, monsters, will have plenty of things in the in-game to hunt and to put to the test, while less experienced players will still have to complete the story campaign and reach Hunter rank 16 in order to start Iceborne's. So Capcom has, quote, "We've got a new system called Hunter Helper. So if you haven't finished World yet and you want to get caught up to play Iceborne, your friends that are higher rank will actually get rewards by playing quests with you and helping you finish your storyline," explained Iceborne's director, Kanami Fujioka. Fujioko? There's a, ends in an A, so I don't think Oko. "We understand that there are some..."
A does not make an O sound.
That's correct.
So yeah, you're right.
"We understand that there are people who are still part of a way along the journey on this game, and we can reassure them that it's definitely something you don't need to think about. It's not for you just because you haven't finished the game yet or because you haven't reached a certain rank." Also, this is off PC Gamer. "Monster Hunter World Iceborne arrives on PC January of 2020. So you gotta wait a little bit.
Rest in peace.
There's your ironic PC website reporting on a PC game that comes out not this week.
Eventually, though, and that's what counts, right?
Yes, eventually. Monster Hunter World Iceborne had, Capcom had a huge display at PAX West, which that's where I was this past weekend. They only brought like two Valkana statues because on Friday the show floor opened at 10 and I got to the Capcom booth at like 10:45, 11 and the Valkana statues were sold out. So I don't know how much they were. I don't know how many were actually brought. I just don't understand how 45 minutes into this convention, there are no more statues.
Hot commodity.
But I did post some pictures on our Twitter of some of the plushes, and I think I posted the statue. If I didn't, I will post those, because I didn't post the party pictures either.
Yeah.
At PAX, I did two things. I met with the community manager, Yuri. We've talked about him before. And I played Iceborne with him. Nothing too fancy. We hunted T-Rex.
T-Rex. That's crucial because there was the whole discussion about how to pronounce the name.
The T.
The T being the emphasis.
T, not tie.
The new pronunciation, sorry.
And then I went to a Monster Hunter party, which was on Saturday night. Iceborne is good.
You did a lot.
Yeah.
And I'm jealous.
We got cool, like, Iceborne badges, or pins, I guess, as well. I brought you one.
You did. I'm very appreciative of that. I was bummed that I would maybe miss out on the PAX Monster Hunter pin.
Yeah, Capcom.
I got the world one.
Capcom gave us a bunch of pins last year. They mailed us some to mail out to you guys, so maybe we'll do it again this year, hopefully. Fingers crossed. So Iceborne's good. I mean, like, when I was talking with Yuri... he really couldn't tell me much more about, you know, the game prior to it coming out. But we did hunt a T-Rex. You were asking, and I said we'll save it for the podcast, what kind of player he was, a Capcom employee, what kind of Monster Hunter player he was. We were able to defeat it. It was me, my friend, Catherine, Yuri, and then I'm so sorry, I can't remember his name, but he was from the Monster Hunter New York. Or New York? Yeah. New York Monster Hunter Facebook group. I can't remember his name.
Yeah.
I've met some of those guys last year. But this was a new dude. So but we defeated it with 26 seconds left. It wasn't like a full real hunt. The hunts they were doing at PAX were the same hunts that you could do on your PS4 or your Xbox this past weekend. I was told by Yuri that very, very, very few people defeated Valkana, and they said they saw more people defeat Nurgigante the first year when they were at PAX, and that was one of the special monsters you can hunt. So don't feel like you missed it. in retrospect, it's kind of weird that people waited like 2 hours in line to hunt at the booth when they, I don't know, could have just downloaded the thing at home and just played it. I mean, you got a pin though. That's true. You had to.
That's hunt the real
to get
end
pin.
Game. Yeah, you got to get the pins.
The pin is pretty sweet. Anyways, it felt good. You know, I guess we'll see when the game came out, but it was funny that no one really used the clutch claw the entire hunt.
Oh, really? Well, I was spamming that thing when I was playing the beta.
But Monster Hunter is still good. I felt like I was a terrible player because I completely changed all my controls when I play. And since this was just like the demo controls by default, I kept like putting away my hammer, or I kept like activating things because I'd normally turn off the rotation wheel.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of that, but...
Oh, were you getting judged?
No, fortunately enough, my screen was turned inwards, so the people that were on the line could not see how bad I was.
So nobody could see you. Got
it. No one could see my very bad hammer skills. Although I did get a KO, which felt pretty okay.
There you go.
But Iceborne is good. It's like seeing, there's always something about like being around people that are equally excited for the game you're excited about. That like the energy of everyone being excited and you get excited. So it's funny because I'm going to call Catherine out. I don't know if she still listens to the podcast, but she had really no desire to play Iceborne. And then she played the demo and she was like, I got to bring my PS4 back out. There's just something about it that feels fresh again, even though like maybe at surface level, obviously it's deeper than that, but at surface level it's like, okay, a new monster, and T-Grex isn't even new, but like a new monster and a new snowy area, but like that alone just feels fresh, I guess. I can't wait for the full game. I can't wait to see all the armor and stuff. The more exciting thing is Capcom threw a Monster Hunter party on Saturday night at the sound? I don't remember what the venue was called. It was like a venue where you would see...
The sound bar.
Maybe. It was very...
sound barrier.
No, it wasn't that. Oh, the showroom. That's what it was called. The showroom.
See, you should have... I should have known it was the showroom.
Yeah, you really... I'm very disappointed. It was 8 to midnight, which, again, in retrospect, I'm like, that's a long party. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just old.
I was going to say, like, I mean, I'm old, too. I'm older than you are, but that sounds like a pretty reasonable time frame for a party.
Yeah, maybe.
So like 4 hours, you know?
So I will disclose that... Yuri snuck me into the party, gave me a little VIP pass, and I was able to get in because it was, we talked about it last week, it was RSVPs were completely booked. So the only way to get in was to wait in a very long line, which I'll get to in a second. So just full disclosure there. That being said, I arrived at the party around 9, and this venue, it was kind of like a venue where you would see, a relatively small band. I mean, I guess maybe you could maybe have like 200 people on the floor watching said band. But it was kind of a circular venue, and like atmospherically, Capcom went all out.
I'm not sure if that's a word, but I'll allow it.
Okay. The theater was like lit up in like an icy blue. They had a giant Thalcana statue made of ice that was, because of how many people were in that room, rapidly melting. It looked cool, though, but you could just see water pouring off of this ice statue.
Sounds awesome.
They had 8 stations, 8 PS4s, so 2 groups of 4 that you could, again, wait in line for to play. And a lot of the people playing were strictly hunting Thalcana. There were 2 huge TVs at the front on the stage where the people operating the music and displays could rotate between any of those 8 people to put them on display. So it was really cool that they would like switch between different users of weapons up there. So, you know, you weren't seeing the same stuff. But when Valkana would go down, just the entire theater would like cheer and clap and light up, which was a very cool experience. Off in one corner, they had a food area where I don't know if it actually cost money to get in. It might have been free, but they did have free food. But the food area had like huge things of meat, like the same meat you would probably see in Monster Hunter, and they were just slicing off meat and handing it to people, which was very like perfectly fit that theme.
Slicing those chunks of that meat.
Chunks of meat. They had a bar, of course. When you went in, they gave you a Monster Hunter cup that lit up, and then there was a ticket in it, so you could possibly win prizes. And then on stage, I don't know if this was part of the venue or if Capcom brought like the stuff, but if you've ever been in like a wooden, if you've ever been in like a cabin or maybe something rustic where you have like benches and chairs that looks like it's made out of Lincoln logs or something, I don't know how to describe
it. Lincoln logs.
But it was like
a log cabin?
Yeah, like log rustic cabin furniture. Yeah. And then it had like pelts thrown over it, and there was a bunch of those. So I wasn't sure if Capcom brought those or they were just part of the venue, and there were little tree stumps that you could sit on everywhere, which I have a minor complaint about. But then on stage, there was Tsujimoto, the director of Iceborne. I said that right, correct?
You did.
And there was a huge line of people waiting to get a signature on a poster from him and taking pictures with him, and he looked like he was having a great time up there. I don't know if secretly he was like, I don't understand any of these people and I want to go home. He looked pleasant, but boy, I'm sure that's a lot.
Yeah, probably a little overwhelming, but I would guess that he's probably used to it at this point. I'm sure he's done a lot of meetups and probably a lot of appearances, so I'm sure that I'm sure he's a seasoned vet at it.
The other thing is, they had Iceborne popcorn. They had, I think it was like a caramel corn, and it was, I want to say maybe freeze dried or something. Where when you ate the popcorn, and this is what they said, they were very excited to tell you, when you ate the popcorn, you could blow out the ice.
Yeah,
and it would make it look like you were breathing smoke or something, but it was good, and it was like icy cold popcorn. It was very weird, but good.
It's so we talked about this, and I looked it up when I was in. Well, you were there. Well, you were at PAX. I was in California, and there was a place in Japantown in San Francisco that I saw people walking through this mall. It's like a big indoor mall in Japantown. And I saw two girls walking, and it looked like they were just vaping inside this mall. And I was like, well, that seems rude. But it turns out that there was a place that was serving ice cream that had the same exact effect. And we talked about it. It's apparently frozen liquid nitrogen ice cream is what they were eating. So I would guess that it was probably frozen liquid nitrogen popcorn.
Yeah, I'm
to like produce
sure.
the same effect.
I did not take a lot of science classes, so
it's kind of neat though. It's a neat thing. One of the results when I was the place that I saw was called Dragon's Breath Ice Cream, or I think maybe the ice cream itself is called Dragon's Breath. But when I typed it in, one of the first results was, is Dragon's Breath ice cream safe? So I didn't dig All any right. further because
okay.
I maybe don't want to know, so that, you
sure.
know, some things you just maybe don't want to know.
Yeah, totally. I have a complaint about this party.
Okay, let's hear it. This is welcome to SBJ Rants.
If you were at the Monster Hunter party and you were if you were one of all the people that were sitting on couches or stools and hogging them for 4 hours, you're definitely one of those people that no one likes. the amount of times I saw like a group of friends hog, is hog the right word? I like
it, hog
is a good word.
Yeah.
Claim their territory on a set of couches that face each other with a table in the middle. And as soon as one friend or a group of possibly four friends get up to go get more drinks, and then one person has to like protect the couches for 20 minutes. That is not cool. I don't think at all, but who am I to judge? I was judging. I'm continued judging. It sucks.
You got to throw the coats on the chair. Take your coat and put it on the chair. That's how, or the couch or whatever.
I don't know. There's just...
That's the seat-saving tactic.
I don't know if I would do the same thing, but there's something, I don't know, that kind of rubs you the wrong... rubbed me the wrong way, clearly. Just the amount of people refusing to give up a seat. I guess it also kind of, like... It leads to, it's not a complaint, but it was, I do feel bad. There was like one dude that I overheard that was waiting in line to get in since like 6 p.m. and he didn't get in until like 10 because that's how long the line was. And I'm sure they could only let a certain amount of people in. And when you were leaving, they said, just to let you know, no re-entry. So if they saw like four people leave, I'm assuming they let four people in. Because that line was moving.
Oh, I see. Gotcha.
And even when I left, so the party ended at midnight. I left a little bit around 11 and there was still a line, which was unreal if people were standing in that line since like as early, if not earlier than 6 p.m. and the party didn't start till 8.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it was limited and hopefully a lot of people got in to see it because it was really cool. Even if you were just in there to see it for a bit and only stay for 20 minutes and leave. But then it goes back to the couch argument of like, if you were sitting on that couch for 4 hours, then I don't know. There's like something about a community event that like there should be an understanding that maybe everyone should experience everything. And maybe experiencing is possibly not standing on your feet for 4 hours because no one refuses to give up a seat.
Yeah. Sure.
But maybe I'm just that. Complaining. Maybe I'm just like an old person. This is me just rant. I'm just an old person. Let the older people
Steve
sit down.
Steve,
I mean, that was like the main reason
Steve Rance.
That was kind of the main reason I left is because it was like I was already on my feet all day at PAX.
Yeah.
And I walked 20 minutes. I mean, I guess I could have Ubered, but I was like, it's a super nice night in Seattle. It's like very cool and breezy. I'll put some headphones in. I'll walk. And then I got there and after like an hour, I'm just like, man, I just want to sit down. I'm just going to go back to my hotel, I guess.
Yeah.
But it was a very cool event. So props to Capcom for that kind of event.
It sounds neat.
It was very, very cool. I think that's what I got besides the last bit of Monster Hunter news here. Event was cool. I'll post some pictures in the Discord. When this episode goes up, I'll probably post the other pictures. It's easy to find. World was great. They brought out Grand Meowster.
I didn't know where you were going with that at
Grandma
first.
Grandma Meowster.
Sometimes it's a journey.
Okay.
Listening to you figure something out vocally, because I don't know where you're starting, and I'm not sure where you're going to end up, but halfway through, I get it.
Okay. Grandma Chef.
There you go.
There's a meow in there somewhere. I'm not sure where it is.
Grand Meowster Chef.
They brought her out, and you could take pictures with her.
Oh, like, in like a suit?
What? It was
like
the
a person
real...
in a suit?
No, real? Giant? Oh. There's no person in the suit.
Oh, sure.
Right.
You're right. Sorry, my bad.
Real Grandma Cat Chef.
Okay.
Somehow larger than me.
But, you know, off the record. They just had it, like, we've both been to multiple Pokemon events.
Yes.
Where they have Eevee and Pikachu come out.
Yes. That's
it was like that?
Yeah.
That's amazing. Why didn't you tell me about this? Why wasn't that the first thing you told me when I asked you about this? I had no idea. This is incredible.
Yeah, they brought her out like once every hour for like 15 minutes.
That's amazing. Well, she had to go back in and keep cooking the meat. I understand.
Yeah, somebody has to.
Somebody's got to cook the meat. Did they play the meat cooking song while the meat was on the fire?
At the party?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think there was only one song playing, and it was they were playing Iceborne music very loud throughout this event.
Yeah, maybe you just couldn't hear it. Maybe it was playing faintly.
Oh, you know, I yelled at Yuri, actually.
You yelled at him?
I said, why are there no alpacas in Iceborne?
Because, you know, Yuri's got control over that.
Correct. Hey, somebody had to get that feedback.
That's true. That'll be DLC.
You could hope. Speaking of DLC.
Look at that segue.
Look
at that layup. Set you up.
This is why we record a day early, only shortly after news. Hopefully in the next 48 hours there's not groundbreaking news, but who knows. This was pretty groundbreaking, though. First free title update. The Indomitable Rajang. Is that how we say it? Rajang?
I've always said Rajang, but I think Rajang is probably right.
It will be coming in October 2019. An ultra-aggressive creature that few have a chance of surviving against, sports powerful arms that pack a punch, and turns gold when angry. And there's a 45-second trailer, and this is probably the coolest-looking monster in all of world.
That's a big claim. But it's very good looking.
Like
it's a good looking Rajang.
Out of all the monsters that have transitioned from the 3DS, unfortunately.
No, Switch 2.
To World.
But I mean, you know, upscaled graphics on the Switch.
Yeah.
Doesn't particularly count, but
it
looks real good. It's a very good looking Rajang. I'm going to try and change how I pronounce it.
It looks so intimidating.
It's very fierce looking. It's a really good trailer for it, too.
I didn't know I felt this way about Rajang, how people might have felt about Zenogre. Because when they showed Zenogre, I was like, whatever. He's cool. I just, whatever.
Oh, Zenogre's awesome. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have love for all of these monsters individually in their own ways. Zenogre is great, but there is a significant love-hate cult following for Rajang.
Do you think it's more than Devil Joe?
I think there are more people that like have a love-love relationship with Devil Joe than there are people that have a love-love relationship with Rajang. I think a lot of the Rajang love also comes with an equal amount of salt.
When you were watching the trailer, I was telling you that while I feel like Rajang doesn't have my number. Who knows? I'm sure it'll be very difficult in Iceborne. But after all this time, I still always specifically struggle with Diablos. I don't know why. I feel like I should know its movement, but I'm just too dumb and slow to avoid it all the time. I always just struggle with Diablos, and maybe for some people, I feel like Devil Joe was maybe that. There was a lot of people being like, "Ugh, Devil Joe."
Well, Rajang is definitely in that category. Devil Joe's like, you know, kind of, that's what I was saying before. Like, Rajang is an amazing monster, and I love Rajang, but also I absolutely hate Rajang. Where Devil Joe, like, Devil Joe's frustrating, but I can't not love Devil Joe.
Mm.
But yeah, Rajang probably is the one that's got
gives
that's
you the
got
most
my number.
So
it's pretty tough. I mean,
Zenogre had my number.
Yeah, Zenogre's a tough one too. Kirin, I think, maybe is the one, at least in World, that I have like a pretty significant amount of struggle with.
I hunted Kushala once, never again.
See, and that's, yeah, I mean, I guess for everybody it's different, but Kushala, I didn't have too much of a rough time. It's a rough fight, but I never had too much of a rough time with Kushala. Kieran, though, is just not a fun fight to me.
I never had trouble with Nurgigante. I know some people really struggled with Nurg.
Yeah.
But Nurg was pretty okay for me.
Yeah, I think the Nurg fights have always been pretty fun. I think most of the fights are always pretty fun, but boy oh boy. Kieran.
Yeah, really Kieran does kind of suck.
Is not a lot of fun. But a really cool monster. I love Kieran as a monster. I just don't want to fight it.
One comment I saw that I laughed at was that somebody was like, finally a new skeleton. And then the next comment was, but what about the Leshen?
Oh, poor Leshen.
That was a new skeleton. Like, no other monster moves like that thing does, right?
Yeah.
Oh, is
that was a big deal.
Is Behemoth a new skeleton? I think Leshen Behemoth was new. I mean, maybe it was based on... It could just be a bigger Odogaron, maybe.
Yeah, I don't think the Behemoth skeleton was new. I'm not 100% sure. This is hard for me to say, because I'm not, like, super, super attuned to any of that. But I don't think... I mean, there were many quadrupedal monsters that I feel like it probably easily was...
One of them.
An existing skeleton where not many bipedal monsters in world. Leshen was definitely something new, so
people were excited. It was trending in Japan on Twitter. Rajang's Japanese name was.
Yeah.
Which might be Rajang, but I don't know Japanese. So I'm assuming maybe it just translates directly to Rajang, or maybe they call it something slightly different. But either way,
Rajan, it looks like. No G. I don't know. Okay. Actually, no. I don't know how to pronounce. Pronunciation is very important with the Japanese language, and it is not my strong suit. So, but from looking at it, it's Rajan. Rajan?
Rajan? Yep.
Something like that. No G, though.
What was Valstrax called in? Oh, if Valstrax was the Jeff.
Valfalk.
And then they changed it to Valstrax for America, yes. Right?
Yep. Valfalk. Valstrax has a little bit more, like, oomph to it, I feel like.
Yeah. Okay.
We got some big ones, though. We got Rajang. We got Zenogre. This is big.
We're getting
some
Natalie.
Big boys. Heavy hitters, Natalie.
Favorite monster.
You're going to make me forget the actual name for that. Namiel?
Yeah, I think so. I think I said Naomi last week. This week.
Natalie this week. Next week it'll be...
Nicole.
Nicole, yeah.
All right, perfect. Couple things. Iceborne this week. I believe you'll be able to access it probably 10 p.m.-ish West Coast on Thursday because it comes out on Friday. I think that there were a bunch of European distributors that have already broke street date. So if you're in France or Germany and you got it, enjoy, I suppose. But if you're looking for people to hunt with, I revamped the Patreon rewards this weekend. Made them pretty easy. We do have a Patreon to support the podcast. I'm sure if you've listened to any other podcast, they probably don't let you forget they have a Patreon. We try not to bring it up a lot, but just because there will be a couple new listeners, if you're looking for people to hunt with, we do have a Discord, and to get into the Discord, it's $1 on Patreon. As soon as you sign up, you get a Discord link. We have a lot of very active people there that have been pretty much hunting every single day, even though there has not really been new content in Monster Hunter World. But they're pretty active, and they're very nice, and they're very helpful.
They are indeed.
I changed some of the rewards. It's the same. It's a $1 and $4, and there's a $20. No one do the $20. Don't give us that kind of money. But because they changed the squads in Iceborne, so there's a squad card, just kind of like how there's a guild card. So now, when you play Iceborne, I can then grab your name from the Discord, and I can send you a squad card invite without us both being online at the same time.
Thank goodness.
Which is incredible and will make it very easy to send invites. And I think I'll even be able to promote Micah to also send invites.
This is remarkable news.
If I can't do that part, at least I can send invites without us both being online, which is a huge problem before.
Yes.
So anyone who is part of the Discord will also get a squad invite. If for some reason we go more than 50, we'll have two or three squads, however. The old squads for World will still be there. They'll just be legacy squads. So if you're in Hogham or if you're in Quick Tobster, you can stay there. Unfortunately, I don't know the full extent of the squads, so if they add things like who is last active, last time logged in, that would be nice. But I'll probably just leave them alone. So we'll have a brand new squad for Iceborne, and then if you do want to give us a couple extra bucks, the $4 a month, which is a dollar a week, that's why it's four, we'll have a secret squad card. So that'll only be like 40 people. Well, I doubt we'll get to 40, but it goes up to 40. And then you can be in both the dollar squad. That's not going to call it the dollar squad.
Now it's going to be called the dollar squad.
And then you could also be in the $4 squad. So
that will also be called the $4 squad.
That one's limited. Again, it's only if you're one, you like the show and you want to support. Or two, you're really looking for a community that is welcoming and nice and friendly and supportive. If you do not care about any of that, do not worry about it. It's fine. Just listening to the podcast is cool. We probably won't bring this up again in such a long-form conversation. So I just wanted to get that out of there. Get that off the table. On the
off
table.
Off your chest. Get it off your chest? Get it off of the...
Yeah.
Get it out of there. Get it off of there.
So that's pretty much it. That's our episode.
That's it.
Monster Hunter Party, Iceborne this week, catch up, old friends through World, Monkey next month.
I can't believe it. Before the show started, I said, oh my God, that's this week. Not that I like forgot. It's just that...
Came up real fast.
It came up so fast. It feels like a week ago we were thinking so far to the future for Iceborne, and it's right around the corner. Literally days away as of recording. It's exciting.
And you want to follow us on Twitter and keep up to date with that kind of stuff? At Dragging a Lake for myself, at Micah the Brave for Micah, at Carve Podcast for new episodes. And the occasional retweeting of Monster Hunter news. And like I said, if you head over to our Patreon, which I probably should have said, patreon.com/carvepodcast, you can join the Discord. That'll be in the show notes as well. But we will be back next. It's nice because none of us have to travel. Neither you or I are traveling next week.
That's true.
So we can have a nice, hopefully long episode about Iceborne. On the 12th, this episode will come out on the 5th. So with that being said, we'll be back next week with our thoughts and opinions and our experiences with Iceborne. So until then, hunters, keep on hunting those monsters.
And keep on carving those monsters. Keep on carving that ice. Ice carve the, I don't know, there's something in there. carve yourself a statue. Just don't let it melt.